In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. My name is Michelle Adamo, for those who don't know me yet. I am a deacon in training in the Diocese of Rhode Island. And since some folks have asked me in my time here what a deacon is and does, I thought it'd be worth taking a few minutes to tell you a little more this morning. So, the word deacon comes from the Greek word diakonia, which means to serve or to minister. It is one of three ordained orders in the Episcopal Church, along with bishops and priests. And I can recommend lots of books on the history of the diaconate. If you're interested, please come find me. The deacon has three main roles in the church. The first is to attend the Eucharist, and that's more than just showing up. It actually means to sort of serve as the wait staff at the table. So set the table, clear the table, sort of help out in general. Sort of stage manage that part of the liturgy. The second role of the deacon is to serve as a bridge connecting the inside of the church with the outside of the church. And what that means really is to help churches identify what ministries would be most helpful in their communities, to help fine-tune ministries or start them or end them, help people in general find their way to serve the community outside. The third role of the deacon is to proclaim the gospel in word and deed. And that includes everything from reading the gospel, as Jonathan just did, to studying scripture and practicing my own spiritual disciplines. Now, one of the spiritual disciplines that I practice is 12-step work. I've actually been in recovery for over 22 years. And there are actually, today's gospel reminded me of a couple of lessons that I have learned in my 12-step work. So I wanted to share a little of that with you. The first lesson is to tend to problems when they are smaller and manageable. Now, slight diversion. While some of you might have noticed I was in a cast last month, I actually broke this bone in this hand 2 days before Christmas. I got it caught between two swinging doors. I do not recommend that. It hurt a lot. While I was in the cast, I ran out of silverware one day, specifically forks. I had no clean forks in my house. Now, the reason for this is that I knew that there were dirty forks, but I realized it's very difficult to wash dishes without two good hands. So I just let them pile up 1 week. And then when I did have to do them, it was so much harder, not surprisingly. Everything was stuck on, there was so much more stuff to wash, it just took so much longer. Now I know from my mother's teaching, it would have been easier if I had done them in real time and kept up with it. So why did I decide to put that off? I think I hoped they miraculously cleaned themselves, elves would show up in my house, my husband would take it upon himself. None of this happened, of course. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Have you ever had something that piled up and it just suddenly got much more complicated, whether that was dishes in your own house or cleaning or even relationships? So I want you to consider anything that you might have done lately, because I feel like this whole idea of having things that pile up and we don't address them right away is true for everything. I mean, it's true for climate change, it's true for political divisiveness, it's true in our relationships. These are the things that sort of bog us down. So I want you to think about something you might have done lately that doesn't quite sit well with you. Did you snap at someone? Did you get really irritated with someone who was driving on their way to church this morning? They were too slow, they were too fast, they cut you off. That happens to me a lot. Did you snap at someone on the phone? Are you irritated with yourself? Think about these. Jesus reminds us in this gospel today that we can take care of those matters right away, right now, this very minute. And he goes on to say that before we come to God, we should address these matters right away. So let's do that today. I want you to close your eyes for a second. I promise not to throw anything at you. Think about something you said or did recently that doesn't sit well. Something that is bugging you. Something you said, something you did, something that happened. How would you make up for that? Do you owe someone an apology? Do you need to clear the air with someone? Do you need to pay somebody back? How would you clear off your side of the street? That's how we talk about it in the 12-step program. Okay, open your eyes. I want you to take out your phone or take out a pen, write a note for yourself on your bulletin, on your hand, in your phone, to remind you this thing that you need to address. Even if it's something like apologizing to yourself, apologizing to God. Now, this may feel unimportant, it may feel silly, it's a small thing, but just as doing the dishes when they're dirty, it's easier to manage them when they're a little at a time, it is easier for us to be at peace with God, with ourselves, and with others if we clean up our messes as we go along. When we're at peace with God and ourselves and others, we can rely on those relationships to nurture and sustain us when things get tough. Just as when we wash the silverware in real time, we have forks to use when we need them. So the other lesson that I've learned in my 12-step program is it is never too late to make an amends. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to give each other the sign of the peace. Does anybody know why that takes place right now in the liturgy? Why it takes place where it does? One reason is actually related to today's gospel, which says, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." So when we are shaking hands with those around us, it is more than just a friendly gesture to neighbors in the pews. This also symbolizes our willingness to be reconciled with those with whom we have disputes. And it takes place before the offertory, because we need to be at peace with ourselves and with others before we can bring our full selves, ready and open and willing, into communion with God through the Eucharist. Now, I will admit that sometimes it is really hard to see our way clear to reconciliation. Some hurts are too deep. They feel too embedded. Some offenses are so long ago that it feels like it must be water under the bridge by now. It's too late to go back. I feel silly bringing it up. I don't want to dredge up hurt feelings. But nowhere in the gospel does Jesus give us an expiration date for these things. Jesus never says, you know, reconcile with your brother within 30 days or just don't worry about it. Jesus also never uses a rating system. He never says, you know, apologize to that person if you hurt them and they felt hurt for more than 24 hours. Or return that stuff you stole only if it was more than $100 worth. I have learned from my 12-step work, it is never, and I mean big font, bold, underline, never too late to address a hurt you've done to someone. If it was 2 days ago, 2 months ago, or 20 years ago, and I have done all of those things, if it is something that we carry in our minds and our hearts, it is worth attention. Now, we may need help to do it, whether that's thoughtful, prayerful preparation, conversation with other people, or even an intermediary of some sort. It is worth the effort. And like washing the silverware, especially if there's a lot of it, it may take time, but it is so worth doing. It not only is worth the effort, but it is necessary for us to be right with God. Now, doing this work of setting matters right with ourselves and with others, it seems simple, but it is not easy. It can be humbling. It can feel really strange. And it can be a risk. The same, though, can be said of being a Christian. It can be humbling. Being a Christian can feel strange sometimes. Being a Christian can be a risk. Yet those of us who are here know, we have faith, we believe that it is worth the effort. When we are not reconciled in our souls and our spirits, when we are not at peace with those we have hurt, we are unable to be at peace with God. We are unable to feel fully the joy that God offers us. We are unable to live fully into the purpose that God has for us. And make no mistake, God has a purpose for each of us. And God wants us to live into that purpose. We only can live into God's purpose when we wash the silverware. We only can live into God's purpose when we clean our side of the street. We only can live into God's purpose when we are at peace with God, with ourselves, and with others. And isn't that worth the effort? Amen.